Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray for a powerful and a mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow through these bodies and in this church tonight, that we can receive what you have for us as believers and what you have for us as a church. We stand in faith tonight declaring the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. Let it be received in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated around the church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to start. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Where the prophet Joel says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days I will pour out my Spirit." And what do we see in connection here with the book of Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. Let's look. At verse 18. "And upon my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Last night, we defined prophecy as a message given from God to a prophet or one who has the gift of prophecy. And then that message must be given to the people with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So the one who is operating either in the gift or in the ministry office, they receive, thus saith the word of the Lord, from the Lord. They give, thus saith the word of the Lord, to the people. But with only the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If there is no anointing of the Holy Ghost, the word is going to fall flat and it will not be received. But if the anointing is present, the people will receive the word as thus saith the word of the Lord. Are we together on this tonight? Now, what did we see both in Joel and in Acts? "And on my servants and on my handmaidens." Who is the servants and who is the handmaidens? I want us to look in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3. While you're getting there. Amos, he was a shepherd. He called himself a herdman in the King James. He was not one whom one would ever suspect to become a prophet. Of all the ones who are prophets in the Old Testament, I would safely say that from his background, Amos might be the least likely prophet of all prophets. He's a herdsman. And God gives him a prophetic message to go to the northern kingdom of Israel and to preach the word. The word that God directly gave him. And then give that word to the people with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, in a lot of cases, they might hear the word. They might receive it. But they won't accept it. And that's what's happening here in the book of Amos. The people will not accept that saith the word of the Lord. Before we go any further, let me stress. Those who are operating in the gift of prophecy. Those who are operating in the ministry gift of a prophet. Our job is to only deliver the message. We cannot make anyone accept it at all. The Spirit will move. The Spirit will lead. But the person listening to the message still has the right to say no. Example, we know at least 10 times Pharaoh said no when he heard the prophetic word of God from Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Pharaoh with the anointing. And Pharaoh consistently said, no, I will not let the people go. So yes, a word can be given. But a person still has the, I don't want to say right, the stubbornness to say no. And Amos, he finds this throughout his entire ministry. Does not mean he is a bad prophet. He is doing what God told him to do. That's all a prophet can do. That's all one who's operating in the gift of prophecy can do. They could only deliver the message that had been given. How many is in Amos chapter 3? In the book of Amos chapter 3, this is going to be a key verse as we move along in the message tonight. Are we still here? Amen. Now, wouldn't you know, right off the bat, can't see what I'm looking for. But it is here. The verse will say, when I find it exactly, I will let you know. It will say that the gift of prophecy is really, well, let me go. We'll come back to that in a second. Zechariah 1, and let's look at verse 6, where it said the following, but my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so had he dealt with us. What did we see earlier in the verse? My servants, the prophets. My servants, the prophets. Let's turn real fast to the book. Actually, let's just stay here. Over 20 times in the course of the Old Testament, we will see the term, my servants, the prophets, or his servants, the prophets. It's used in 2 Kings. It's used in Ezra. It's used in Amos and Zechariah. It's used a lot in Jeremiah. Isaiah and Ezekiel also use the word, and it even crops up in the book of Revelation a couple of times. My servants, the prophets. So, a prophet is what? A servant of God. Are we together on this? A servant does what the Lord wants them to do. In this case, the servant receives the saith the word of the Lord. Then the servant delivers, thus saith the word of the Lord to the people. Now, the relationship between the Lord and the servant is going to be a very close relationship. Of all the people in Old Testament times, Abraham, he was called a prophet by God himself. He had a close, personal, speaking terms relationship with God. We look at Moses. He had a close, speaking term relationship with God. We look at all the prophets. Elijah, Jonah. We look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and every single prophet. They have a very close relationship with the Lord. In order for the prophetic to operate, the prophetic word of the Lord, there must be an extremely close relationship between the prophet, the servant of the Lord, and his Lord. This is not a casual relationship. This must be an ongoing, strong, and continuing to develop relationship between the prophet or the one operating in the gift of prophecy and the Lord. This will not operate through one who is a carnal, casual believer in Jesus. Are we together on this? This will not operate in those who are a carnal, casual believer. This operates to those who truly serve the Lord in this type of office. Now, what did we see in Acts? Upon my servants and upon my handmaids, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So who are the ones who can operate in the gift of prophecy? Upon my servant and upon my handmaids. It's the same wording that is used consistently throughout the Old Testament regarding a prophet, a servant. In order to operate in the gift of prophecy, in order to operate in the office of a prophet, one must be a servant of God. We must have the humble servant attitude. Are we together on this? Now, Jesus, when he deals with servants, he really stresses the two-way, or should I say three-way, relationship. The relationship between the Father, the Son, the Godhead, and the one who is giving the prophecy, and then the one who is giving the prophecy to the believers in Jesus. The relationship must be one on part of the prophet or the one operating in the gift of prophecy of a servant relationship. We are representing the Lord. When we use the wording, thus saith the word of the Lord, at that point, we are operating under the authority of the Lord. Are we together on this? If one does not have the authority given to him by the Lord, either through the ministry gift of a prophet or the gift of prophecy, they should not utter the words, thus saith the word of the Lord. They do not have that privilege or right. Are we together on that? Thus saith the word of the Lord belongs to those who have been authorized by God to say, thus saith the word of the Lord. We are at that point no longer ourselves. We are first and foremost a spokesman for God. Those in the audience, they need to receive the message, not just as some message given by the speaker, but when the gift or the office of prophecy is in action, and with a mighty move of the Holy Ghost confirming the word, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth should be established. The Holy Ghost is definitely the first witness. Are we together on this? The Holy Ghost is a witness. If the Holy Ghost is witnessing to you that this is true, then it becomes a listen, pay attention, apply this in your life moment. Are we still here? Now, follow with me to the book of Luke for a moment. The book of Luke, chapter 14. I'm going to start with verse 8. Actually, I'm going to move a little further. Verse 16 for the sake of time. And a certain man made a great supper and bade or invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now, what did we see in the old? We saw that a prophet is one who has been given a message from his Lord and then gives that message to the people with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We've also seen my servants, the prophets. We've also seen upon my servants and handmaids, they shall what? Receive the Spirit, and then what? They shall prophesy. So what do we see here? This servant operating in a prophetic office. He is giving the message his Lord gave to him to speak to the people. So the servant is the one saying what? And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So, what's happening? Lord says to servant, go tell the people that this dinner is ready. Servant goes, gives the invite. What happens? Verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The excuse of all three really are the same. The cares of the world. They hear this prophetic message from the servant, the prophet. They ignore the message because they are caught up in the cares of this world. If you look at the parable of the sower, when Jesus gives that parable, we see the 4 types of ground, right? A prophetic word will not survive in the first 3, be it the hard ground, the stony ground, or the wayside. It just won't survive there. The cares of this world, or persecution, or self-righteousness, or whatever, a prophetic word will not survive and thrive there. So what happens? Verse 20. 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded. Now, hold there for a second. The servant did what? He took his prophetic message given to him by the Lord, type of a prophet, type of Jesus. And now he goes to the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And what happens? They receive the message and they accept the last part of that verse. And yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Let's hold there. What do we see here? The message given by the Lord. The poor, the lame, the halt, the blind, the highways, the hedges. Compel them to come in. The message of a prophet. For those who are carnal, casual, things of the world will probably fall on deaf ears. They will have to deal with the Lord regarding this. But for these here, they turn out to be good ground. And the message, the prophetic message given to them is received, and they come to the banquet. When the prophetic word goes forth, what will happen? Those who are of good ground will receive the word, accept the word, and be part of what the Lord has in store for them. But what is our job? Prophetic word. Give the invite. Are we still here? Now, follow with me for a second. Book of 1 Kings. Many of us are familiar, but let me set the stage. At the beginning of 1 Kings 17, Elijah the prophet makes his first appearance in front of King Ahab. It's not going to rain until I pray for it to rain. And then Elijah leaves and it starts, well, the long drought begins. It stops raining. Then what do we see? Chapter 17, verse 3. Get your hints and turn you eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be that ye shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So what do we see? Elijah goes, prophetic word. There's going to be a drought. It will not rain until I pray. Elijah leaves, hangs out by the brook Cherith, and is fed by ravens, buzzards, and he survives for a short while. That is until verse 7, when the brook dried up and the food ran out. Now at this point, something interesting happens. The Lord tells Elijah to go to Zarephath. Zarephath is a city in Sidon, ancient Phoenicia, modern Lebanon. He was to go there and meet a widow woman in the city. Now, understand something. A good prophet like Elijah, there's three people he would probably not be dealing with. One, Gentile. That's what this woman is. Gentile, not Jewish. Two, woman, widow at that. Number three, poor. There really isn't much in the way of ministry for an Israelite, for a Gentile, female, poor person at all. Let's connect this to what we've already seen, though. We have seen the Lord in the parable we just saw in the Gospel of Luke. Go and what? Give the message to them who are poor and lame and maimed and blind. So we see Elijah in a type of what Jesus is dealing with in the Gospel of Luke. He is the prophet of the time. I mean, he is so major of a prophet. He got to hang out with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, him and Moses. We're talking number one and number two. The two big names. And he's been told to go to a Gentile country to deal with a Gentile woman who had no money. Why does Elijah go there? Because the word of the Lord told him to go there. Verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Here's the thing. The woman doesn't realize it yet. It's not until Elijah actually deals with her that she will realize what she has been called to do. The Lord has called her to sustain Elijah for approximately 3 years of the drought. At this point, though, she does not realize it. Why? Because it still has to come from the mouth of the prophet to the woman about what must be done. The role of a prophet, the role of the gift of prophecy, really could be one of information, of letting a person know what the Lord wants them to do. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is misoptimism. Notice she did not say, oh, you're the prophet of the Lord that the Lord told me was going to come. She doesn't know it yet. All she sees is two sticks, near empty barrel, just enough oil to cook. I don't even want to use the word cake. You might as well say a biscuit. Then they'll split the biscuit and that's it. They're dead. She only sees the immediate effect of what's going to happen. She and her son are going to die. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for you and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Hold. Why can Elijah say, thus saith the word of the Lord? Because he received, thus saith the word of the Lord. When this is given by Elijah, this is really the Lord saying, this will happen, period. Are we together on this? Thus saith the word of the Lord equals, this is going to happen. Let's keep going. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Now, what do we have Elijah saying? The Lord said that he will not allow the meal and the oil to ever hit empty, that the family will live, survive, and thrive. All they had to do was obey the word of the Lord. For the woman, she had to listen to the voice of the prophet. Remember, the Lord's voice is through his servant, the prophet. She has to listen to it and then do it. Here's a key thing when it comes to prophetic words. When we know absolutely it is, thus saith the word of the Lord, it must be done. It becomes an obedience issue at that point. Now, the Lord knew 100% what was going to happen. But the woman still had to make the choice on whether she would listen to this Israelite prophet and obey, thus saith the word of the Lord. In other words, for the promises to begin, she had to be in obedience to the word of the Lord given to her by the prophet. Are we together on this?
Amen.
Now, what happens? She does what the Lord has told her to do. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she, he, and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, never ran out. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, what do we have here? the servant of the Lord, before he went to Zarephath, he had received mercy of the Lord. How did he receive mercy? He was given food and water, the water from the brook, and the food from the raven in the first part of the drought. Then the Lord told him to go to Zarephath. Now what is he doing? He is going there, and he will show the same mercy God showed to him on this woman. A prophetic word is a word of mercy to those in need. This woman was a Gentile. Did she deserve anything that was coming her way? Absolutely not. But the Lord is setting something up here. You see, he had mercy on this woman and her son and her house, as it's listed here. Why? Because our God is a merciful God. A prophet, one operating in the gift of prophecy, must be a merciful person. Mercy must flow. Are we together on this? Mercy must flow. Now, this woman, where does this begin with her? Obedience to the word of the prophet. What happens in the last third of the chapter? The woman's son dies. The woman said the following to Elijah, verse 18. What have I to do with thee, O man of God? Are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Guess what we're dealing here with? Are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? We got two issues that's going to be dealt with here. One is the raising of the son from the dead. The second is the sin issue in the woman. Now, up to this point, the woman had received mercy. Amen? I mean, she's alive. The barrel's not empty. The oil is still there. But now, the Lord is dealing with this woman in a different way. What does Elijah do? Because he's in obedience, being where he's supposed to be. He goes, lays on the son, prays for him, and the son comes to life again. Now, where does all of this begin from? The Lord having mercy on the woman. Understand, if the Lord does not send Elijah to this woman, her son and herself is dead. The reason why this woman receives the mercy of the Lord is because she has allowed this prophet into her house, allowed his ministry to operate in her life. So she has food. Her son is raised from the dead. But what did she say? Did you come to bring my sin to remembrance? This is a day that the woman's sin is also going to be gone. Notice how it ends, verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. We see a repentance here of this woman. She believes in the Lord. Now, the prophet's role in this was what? One, the needs of the person being met. The only one in Zarephath who received this blessing was the only one who allowed the prophet into her life, into her house. Are we together on this? You might ignore a prophet in town at your own risk. Number two, her son is miraculously raised. But it begins with the obedience of the woman. When one is obedient to the word of the Lord, to the prophet, the supernatural is in operation. And also, she receives the word of the Lord and she believes. She would fall in the category in the Gospel of Luke as the one who was poor. Her son was dead, so let's throw him into maimed or halt or blind. And what happened in the Gospel of Luke? They received the invite and they came to the banquet because the prophet came to this woman's house. What's going to be the final result? Not just her needs met. Not just her son raised from the dead, but her being with the Lord. How do you know that? Jesus mentioned her in one of his teachings. How no one in Israel accepted the prophet during the drought, except the woman who was, we know, the widow of Zarephath. Why would Jesus mention her if she's not in heaven? We'll see that widow woman. Because she believed and was saved. You see, when the Lord sends His prophetic word, it can bring your needs being met. It can bring healing, but it can also bring a new life in Christ. Believers in Jesus, we have this responsibility to preach the word, the prophetic word. The needs of people being met depends on it. Healing depends on it. But so does their salvation. The word will go forth out of this house. This is a prophetic house, a place where the prophetic word is given. The Lord gives the word. We deliver the word with Holy Ghost power. And we will see the miraculous happen. Just like this woman saw it. We will see it in our day and our time. Let's stand across the church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You for the word of the Lord.